Show your T-ball team spirit and buy your hard-working Art Lab team a cup of coffee, which helps fuel purchases of high-octane equipment and T-ball tech that get poured back into percolating, highly caffeinated content for you. Just go to buymeacoffee.com and search Therapy Bites.
On this episode of Therapy Bites Art Lab.
Welcome, T-ballers. Do you sometimes self-sabotage and get in your own way? Are you ever lost in the laundry of your own limitations? Well, hold on to your socks, both of them that is, because we're streaming a couple of socksationally successful guys into the Art Lab to help you sock it to those self-limiting beliefs. Join us as Mark X. Cronin and John Cronin, co-founders and sock ambassadors of the world's largest sock choice store, John's Crazy Socks, two guys responsible for clothing the toes of presidents and pop stars alike, share some yarns and their own sock-footed secrets of success.
Beware, there'll be challenging thinking ahead, T-ballers.
But it just might change your life today, starting with your socks. So leave those socks at the door, because it's socks only in the Art Lab today, because we have a sensationally socksalicious episode in store for you.
Stay tuned following the interview for On the Couch and Off the Rocker, our special guest's psycho-silly analysis by Art Lab's own head cabbager, Dr. Ima Freudnot.
Welcome to Therapy Bites Art Lab, where Dr. Heath and his special guests share real-life stories of helping and healing. Fresh from the actual therapy couch, while taking a bite out of common counseling missteps and misconceptions. And now, here's Heath and the T-Ball team.
Hey, T-Ballers. Welcome to another episode of Therapy Bites Art Lab, and that is what T-Baller stands for. Therapy Bites Art Lab, and the Art Lab part stands for Accurate Realistic Thinking, Life-Affirming Beliefs. And do we have a treat for you guys today. On today's episode, Crazy Socks, the psychology of inspiration and self-limitation. How do you get beyond self-limitation to get to that all-magical inspiration? And we have, to tell us the tale, Mark and John Cronin. They are the reigning sock kings of the universe. And they are also the CEOs of Spreading Happiness. Hey, guys, and welcome to today's episode.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having us on. We're looking forward to this conversation.
It'll be fantastic. Tell us about the world of socks.
Well, we have this company. What's it called?
John's Crazy Socks.
John's Crazy Socks. And what's the mission?
I spread happiness.
We are in the business of spreading happiness. We just celebrated our 6th anniversary.
Congratulations.
That's awesome.
Yeah. What we've built is, it's a slightly different type of business model. It's a social enterprise. So we have both the social mission of showing what's possible, particularly hiring people and showing what they can do and giving back, as well as a business mission. So we started 6 years ago, just the two of us. It was your idea, right?
I did.
And today, how many different socks do we have?
We have 4,000 different kinds of socks.
Which means,
oh my goodness.
John owns the world's largest sock store in terms of choice.
That's amazing.
We're not out selling your buddies over at Walmart, but we have greater choice than anybody else. Mm-hmm. And we've grown it, so we've been able to create 34 jobs. 22 were held by people with different abilities. We've raised over $550,000 for our charity partners, like the Special Olympics, the National Down Syndrome Society, the Autism Society of America. We just passed a milestone of we shipped our 400,000th order that have got every state in the union in 88 different countries. So, and you like to say,
I'm just getting started.
We're just getting started.
That's awesome. That is fantastic. You know, it just dawns on me. I'm a big sock lover. I used to have some Halloween socks. that I could click my heels together and it played Halloween music. I had Christmas socks that played Christmas tunes. And it would really freak people out because they would say, "Where's that music coming from?" And I would say, "Music? What music? Are you hearing music?" Of course, in psychology, I got a lot of mileage out of that. Maybe since you're hearing things, you need some additional treatment. But I love socks. It dawns on me with 4,000 pairs of socks, 4,000 styles.
Wow.
If I wore a different pair of your socks every day, I would still be going through socks 10 years from now.
That's right.
That's a lot of socks. How do you guys come up with ideas for 4,000 pairs of socks?
Well, everybody does. You know, when we started, we only sold other people's socks, and it was John and I picking everything out. Now everybody helps pick out socks, our customers, everybody who works here. We make our own socks now as well as selling other people's socks. You know, that's part of the power of diversity. Is you got a lot of people choosing, and so then customers are able to personalize what they, you know, the socks they want. So, you know, if you know somebody who's into sports, we got sports socks. Or somebody into pets, we got pet socks, or food, or alcohol, or animal, you name it, we'll have something that will be special for you.
That's awesome. All right, I got a hard question for John and Mark. What is your favorite pair of socks?
My favorite pair of socks, I downed it from Superhero Socks. Those socks are my face on the socks. I am a superhero, and I put my face on the socks.
I designed those socks, right?
Awesome. Super John socks.
Yeah.
I love it.
That's good.
John Superhero Socks. Hey, by the way, we're going to send you guys after the episode, we're going to send you, those of you listening can't see this, but you can hop on the YouTube channel, the Therapy Bites Art Lab YouTube channel, and see this. We have Mark and John in their own special yoga poses. And after the episode, we're going to put that on a show shirt and a show mug commemorating their appearance on the Therapy Bites podcast today. And we'll send them a gift card. They can get it for free. But all of you Mark and John fans, you can go on the Therapy Bites store and get your own commemorative shirt and show mug about their appearance, and they're in these really cool yoga poses. John has his own dance show, so he's the most limber on the show today.
Yes.
I'm not going to try those poses. I'd have to wind up going to the hospital. But
you'll be unwinding me a week from now.
But we'll make we've already made you guys superheroes. You already are superheroes, and
yes,
if you're watching the YouTube channel, you can see these guys in these yoga poses. Tell us a little bit about your journey. You said John came up with the idea to found the socks company. Where did that kind of inspiration come from?
Well, like many things, it came out of necessity. So the story starts 6 years ago in the fall of 2016 in a small log cabin in the woods.
No.
No.
Oh.
It starts on suburban Long Island in a town called Huntington outside New York City. And where were you?
I was at Huntington High School. I could be my last year's school.
So John's in his last year of school, like everybody else, trying to figure out, what am I going to do next? What am I going to do when I'm done with school? And what were you looking at?
Job, program, and school. I don't like the options I like.
He didn't say anything he liked. And this is an unfortunate reality for too many Americans. There just aren't enough jobs or openings for people with Down syndrome or with differing abilities. But John here, John's a natural entrepreneur. You didn't see a job you wanted, what'd you say?
I want to create one. I want to make one.
Would you tell me?
I told my dad I want to business with him. A nice father-son business together.
So I thought that was pretty cool.
That's exceptionally cool. So cool. I love that.
I'm a lucky man. I've got three sons.
Yes, you are.
And this is one I could work with.
Yes, I am.
So, yeah.
Awesome.
But then we had to figure out, okay, what type of business were we going to start? And John, you have a lot of ideas.
Oh, yeah. I have
Some of them are good ideas.
Yes.
What was one of your ideas?
A food truck. I got an idea for the movie Chef, John Favreau. The movie about a father and son buying a food truck.
So that's been pretty cool, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, food trucks, everybody loves food trucks. And we're thinking, what could we make and where could we put it? But we ran into a problem.
We can't cook.
Yeah.
It
wasn't going to be a food truck. But then, right before Thanksgiving, you had your eureka moment.
I said, I want to sell crazy socks. White socks, it's fun, it's colorful, it's creative. It always let me be me. I want crazy socks my whole life.
We used to drive around looking for these socks for John. So we figured this. If John loved them that much, surely other people would too. And we could find our tribe. So at that point, we went the lean startup route. We didn't take time to develop the extensive business plan. We said, let's get something up and running, and customers will let us know. So we built a website. We got a little bit of inventory. We were bootstrapping, and we recently got asked by a student, what does bootstrapping mean? Well, bootstrapping means you have no money. So you have to.
We've all been there.
Yeah. You got to make do with what you have. So the only marketing we did was set up a Facebook page, and I would take out my cell phone, and we made videos. And who do you think was in those videos?
I am. I talk about socks. Socks, more socks.
And what day did we open?
We opened on a Friday, December 9th, 2016.
Now let me get this right, John. You became a sock model.
Yes, I am, and also we have a 60th anniversary last Friday.
Right, so he would model. It was just the two of us doing everything.
Yes.
So when we opened, we didn't know what to expect, and we were very fortunate. We got a flood of orders. Most of them were local. So how did we deliver those first orders?
Our home deliveries, we get red boxes, and I put sock in the box.
And then what did we add?
I dig in the rubber and candy.
We got bags of Hershey's Kisses.
Yes.
Ooh.
Poured them in the boxes.
Nice. Wow.
We loaded up the car and drove around, and you delivered the socks.
Oh. I did. At customer response, they loved the socks. And I take a picture with me and the socks and show it on social media when I get a spread.
We had customers ordering again just to get John to come back to their door. And there were some funny moments, right? We'd be out after 10 o'clock at night and John's knocking on doors saying, you know, just John with your socks.
Just show me.
That's great.
So by the end of that month, really 2 weeks, we had shipped 452 orders, and we had learned some things. You know, one, people want to buy socks.
Yep, and two, people want to buy socks from me.
They did. They related to John. They liked the fact that we had already pledged 5% of our earnings to the Special Olympics. They liked that personal touch of the home delivery and the candy and the thank you note. And it was something that caught us by surprise, and we still have trouble wrapping our minds around it. We got a very emotional response from many people, from families and individuals, because they saw a young man with Down syndrome starting his own business. It was very important to them and very moving to them. And we also learned, you learn by doing. So we learned that this young man.
They said, old man.
So that's how we got started. But there's, and I think this is relevant to your show. We tell that story a lot. People like hearing that. And your origin story always gives you your DNA. But people don't often ask, Mark, where were you? And here's where I was. In October of leading into the fall of 2016, I had been working for a while with my wife, who was an attorney, very good attorney, but she suffered from a chronic form of depression that sometimes made it hard for her to work and stay focused, and sometimes would lead to some pretty bad decisions. Well, something happened, and in the fall, in October of 2016, we had to take immediate action and close that business. So there we were, no income, that was the family income, no income. I was 58 years old at the time. I was an entrepreneur, which meant I was basically unemployable. And what are you going to do? So I was starting some online businesses when John came to me and said, Dad, I want to go into business with you. And what I first heard was John asking for my help. John saying, I don't know what I want to do, Dad, and I want to create something. I need your help. What I have come to recognize is that John was coming to help me. John was coming to say, Dad, I believe in you, and we're going to make this, and I want to help you. And that's pretty cool.
Wow, that is simply amazing. I think it's wonderful to believe, and I think each of us need to respect our own beliefs more and respect our own abilities more. But it's awfully nice to have someone come alongside of you and say, I will join you in this belief. And you guys did that for each other. I mean, that's kind of a reciprocal belief system where you can join each other in the same belief and the same endeavor and the same intention.
Yeah, we're very fortunate. We're very fortunate.
But what were some of the hurdles? I suspect it wasn't all smooth sailing.
Oh, no. you know, it's part of what we share. We do a lot of public speaking. We speak with a lot of colleges and universities and other entrepreneurs. It's never a question of will you have trouble? It's only a question of when. You know, and some of it are small or comical, you know. Even the day we were going to open, our webmaster, and that was me, messed something up in our code. Website crashed. We had to delay our opening. Or we sold so many socks in the first 2 days. By the second day, we were running out of inventory. And what do you do? Where are we going to get socks on a Saturday night? Well, I drove to every Kmart in Suffolk County and bought all the socks we could.
Oh, just my so goodness.
In inventory. Or we told you we put Hershey's Kisses in the packages, and everybody loved it. You'd open it up, you could smell the chocolate. Until we got the email from the woman in Florida saying, you know, you may not want to send chocolate to the South during the warm months.
Oh, that's a good point, yeah.
So now what do we put in?
A Skittle, a fruit snack.
Skittles and fruit snacks and things that aren't going to melt.
Yeah.
But, you know, we also, I had spent much of my career in the healthcare field. I had run political campaigns, but I had never worked in retail before. So we learned about ups and downs. You know, it turns out nobody buys anything in the summer. So it's hard. Nobody buys any socks in the summer, I should say. We do over 40% of our business in November and December.
Right about the time people's toes start getting chilly.
Right. They buy them as gifts. And so that's kind of a tough way to run business. But, you know, the first year we wound up, we had a viral event in March. Watch what you ask for. You may get it. We went from 40 orders a day to over 1,000 orders a day.
Wow. Holy moly. Oh,
wow.
That was kind of wild. I mean, here's one example of how we adjusted. I went up to the local Best Buy to pick up a couple of computers so we could add packing stations, and I recruited two of their employees to come work for us the next day.
You're a scalper. You're scalping employees.
So, you know, we had a big boon, but then come the summer, we had nothing. We run out of. We were bootstrapping, so we ran out of money. I let people go. Things picked up in the fall. You brought everybody back. We had a couple boom and bust cycles like that. Our second year was an extraordinary year with viral events. John had become sock buddies, if you will, with former President Bush, President George H.W. Bush, and that led to all sorts of media attention. But 2019, things came down to earth, and by the end of that year, we were virtually bankrupt. I remember meeting with a law firm in New York City saying, oh, you should declare Chapter 11. And all you have to do is give us $50,000 up front.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my goodness.
If I had $50,000, I wouldn't be talking to you.
Exactly. Yes.
Wow. What do you guys tell yourselves in those moments? I mean, your wife has struggled with depression. I think you said you have another son that also struggles with depression. How do you guys make sense and talk yourself through these low periods in your business?
Well, I think it's a couple of things. One, you have to know what matters and what you believe in. So we're fortunate. We know what we're about. What's our mission?
Spread heaven.
And that's not just words. We believe in that. We know what our values are. We have our five pillars. When you wind up ass over heels, when you know what your mission and purpose is, when you know what your values are, those become your North Star and can keep you going. It helps when you've got somebody else with you. You know, I had John by my side. I knew we were doing this for other people. We had made a promise to our colleagues. We had made a promise to the world. Look at how you could run a business. You could run a business based on love. You could run a business based on, you know, combining a social and a business mission. You could run a business where more than half your employees have a differing ability. And for us not to succeed would let so many people down that we knew we had to find a way.
That's amazing. And you, the folks with differing abilities that you have, what are some of those differing abilities that you have people working through that work for you?
Mostly, you might think of, an alternative term might be intellectual development disabilities. It's people with Down syndrome. It's people with autism. We have some folks here with Fragile X or with cerebral palsy. Part of what we have learned, focus on what people can do, not what they can't do. You know, a line that I'll repeat a lot is, don't be blinded by someone's limitations. Be awed by their possibilities. And so that's our focus. We see what people can do. And so we're very fortunate. We only hire people that can perform. We only hire people that are really good workers. But we happen to tap into a pool that many people overlook.
And why do you think, based on your experience, why do you think people overlook those other human beings?
It's prejudice, it's ignorance. It's looking and saying, oh, what could John do? John has Down syndrome. What can he do? And one of my favorites is we'll share with other businesses. We want them to see what we do. And a line I've heard numerous times is, oh, but we work with heavy equipment. Well, John crosses the street every day. You've never been hit by a car, right?
No.
Good for you.
Not in weeks.
Not in weeks.
Right? Not in weeks. It's been many. It's been a long time.
Right. It's seeing, right? Too often we focus on things that don't matter. Too often, we bring extraneous things into the picture. I mean, I'll give you a story out of American history. In 1947, the then Brooklyn Dodgers integrated baseball when they signed Jackie Robinson. And all they did was say, we're going to sign the best baseball players, and we're not going to care about things that don't matter, like the color of your skin. So the first three teams to integrate were the Brooklyn Dodgers, the Cleveland Indians, and the then New York baseball Giants. Well, think about them as businesses, which they were. They became the best teams, the most successful businesses in baseball. They had a competitive advantage because they said, we're going to hire the best baseball players, and we're not going to, you know, discriminate against people for arbitrary reasons. And that's what we talk about. If every employer will tell you they want to hire the best possible people for the salaries they can pay. Well, if you exclude people with differing abilities, you cannot hire the best possible people.
For full show notes and transcript of today's episode, go to therapybites.podbean.com.
The Therapy Bites podcast is HIPAA compliant. No identifying patient information will be disclosed by Therapy Bites podcast hosts or Therapy Bites podcast guests without permission from patients or guardians. All personal stories are de-identified in order to comply with HIPAA, the NASW Code of Ethics, and the Ethical Principles of Psychologists and Code of Conduct. Fresh from the therapy couch and from the deep dark recesses, stories may involve exploding preconceived notions and topics uncomfortable to underthinkers and small farm animals. Audience discretion and duct taping your head for safety is advised. Concrete-headed Kool-Aid drinking humans assume all risks associated with any possibility of choking to death on the accurate, realistic thoughts presented in the art lab. This is natural selection, and Therapy Bites podcast management and hosts are not responsible.
Welcome to this issue of Fresh from the Therapy Couch, where we share stories of hurting, helping, and healing, real-life stories from real-life humans, hoping their messes can be a message you'll use to improve your own lives and possibly maneuver around the mistakes they made. Let's talk about respect and hot potato thoughts. Well, John's greatest struggle in his relationships was thinking that others didn't respect him, that his kids didn't respect him, that his wife didn't respect him. He believed that when someone voiced any opinion contrary to his, that reduced the value of his own opinions. Unless you were for him, you were against him. Unless you agreed with him, you were disrespecting him. Well, why do some people have problems with hearing out others' opinions and perspectives? Well, because creating a space for the opinions of others is a skill. But good news, it's a skill that can be developed. This requires the accurate belief that entertaining an opinion differing from your own is not a threat to you. This is not a competition of truth. None have a corner on truth. Truth is a grander, greater thing. This is POV. And what I mean by that is perspective, opinion, and viewpoint. POV is essential for cultivating relationships to a deeper level. POV is not a threat to you. The POV of another person is not a threat to you. It does not devalue your POV, even though it may disagree. POV is not a weapon, and certainly, listen up, men, is not emasculating. Actually, the ability to entertain the opinions of others, well, such as your wife, and guys, one of the greatest gifts you can give your wife is to create a space for her opinion on the same level, actually higher than your own. Make a practice of lifting her up. Actually, respecting someone else's POV and making space for it is the most masculine thing that you could possibly do. Fresh from the Therapy Couch, this is Doc Heath.
You're listening to Therapy Bites Art Lab, bite-sized therapy for your brain with Dr. Heath and the T-Ball Team. The best advice on the net. No copay required.
Welcome to the Therapy Bites Art Lab Library, where we have pored over thousands of volumes to bring you the latest Couch Crumbs quote. Oh, would you like a napkin? You're getting crumbs in the book.
That okay. Me eat book.
Oh. And now today's Couch Crumbs quote.
Oh, hello. Thank you for joining me. Communication is best conducted as a team sport. A quote by Dr. Heath.
Oh, you got crumbs on the couch. Extra points for you.
Live the art life. Become a T-Ball teammate, inner circle supporter on Patreon at patreon.com/therapybites.
Here's Heath and the T-Ball team.
That is such a great point. And I'd like to point out as an addition to that, when you're being blinded because someone looks different than you or speaks different from you or thinks different from you or reasons different from you, you're not just limiting them, you're limiting yourself. And if you're a business, you're limiting your business potential and possibilities.
We are always talking, you know, making the business argument that it's hiring people with different abilities is not altruism. It's good business.
That's right.
We've done a TEDx talk on that theme. Here are some easy examples. Here on Long Island, there is a growing labor shortage. Employers cannot find enough good workers. But I've heard the same thing in Fargo, North Dakota. I've heard the same thing in Houston and in Dallas. Employers say they can't find enough good workers. The local newspaper here, the regional newspaper, did a big article about how during the holiday season, employers couldn't find enough employees. And they were either paying wild overtime rates or they were leaving money on the table because they didn't have enough people. We have no trouble filling every open position because we're willing to hire people with different abilities. We don't lower our standards, but that gives us a competitive advantage. And you could say, well, you know, Mark, you and John have a small business. It's different with you. So let's take this little software company out of Redmond, Washington. You've probably heard of them. They're called Microsoft. So they're in fierce competition to find enough technical workers, programmers, computer people with good computer skills. They ask themselves, how come we're not hiring more people with autism? Because many people with autism have great technical skills. Well, the answer was easy. Because that person with autism, in the interview, they may not look you in the eye. They may not give you a firm handshake. Well, they're pretty smart people at Microsoft, and they realized that was their problem. They changed their hiring process. So now they have lots of people working with them who have autism. And that gives Microsoft a competitive advantage over other tech companies.
You know, it's strange to hear you talk about that because many years ago, I had a lovely colleague that shared with me about her husband who is on the spectrum, has autism. And she said there's things that he can't do, but there's so many things that he can do. And he works from home. He has an entire Batman cave of computers and monitors. And he is just one of the top programmers anywhere. Because it's not about making a person, a human being, fit into your box. It's finding things that human can excel at. And not doing that from a management perspective is just lazy. It's just lazy thinking.
Yes.
A little bit of science behind that for folks listening, by the way. Your brain loves patterns. And your brain, there's nothing your brain loves more than the patterns with which you're familiar. And since you expose yourself to people that look like you and talk like you and think like you and walk like you, your brain will fool you into thinking when you run into somebody different that you are at risk or you are at threat. And so when you look at someone who has autism, your brain is going to sound the alarm. And this in statistics is called a false positive. Your brain will think that there's an effect there, there's an issue there, and there really isn't. And you have to get over that type of thinking to realize that just because what I hear is different or what I see is different, that doesn't mean there's a problem here. You have to overcome in yourself that type of disabling thinking about differently abled human beings, or you're going to miss a huge segment of humanity. I want to ask a quick question here about you guys' work. How many hours a week do you guys work?
The two of us?
Yeah.
We put a lot of time in.
Yeah, we did.
We haven't, this is our busy time of year. The last time we had a day off was Thanksgiving.
Wow.
But, it's fun stuff that we do. So, yesterday, we did some work. What did we do? We did a radio interview at 9 in the morning. And then we went to Polar Plunge for the Special Olympics. And we made a presentation there, and you went in the water.
I did.
You've done
AAU. Oh, my goodness. Don't sign me up for that.
And I then came home and wrote a blog article about it. So, that's – and the day before, we did our annual – open house anniversary party. So we throw the doors open on our warehouse. We had Santa, we had music, we had food, and we had a few hundred people show up to come and celebrate and check us out. So, we get to have a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
That's
we're
awesome.
Very fortunate to get to do what we do. We do a lot of a fair amount of traveling because of speaking engagements. And the world is opening up again, so we get to go and do that. And
yeah,
you love all that, don't you?
I do.
But these opportunities become obligations for us, right? If someone's willing to listen to us, and we do a lot of advocacy work, if an elected official is willing to listen to us, creates an obligation on our part to speak up for people who can't speak for themselves. So, we've testified twice before the U.S. Congress. We've spoken at the United Nations. We get those opportunities. We got to make.
What did you guys testify about?
About hiring people with different abilities.
And what response did you get from those distinguished lawmakers?
Well, they're all moved when they hear John speak. Mm-hmm. I'll give you share an anecdote of an example of this. We were down on Capitol Hill one day and got a phone call in the office from a customer in Houston who called up and said, my mother works on Capitol Hill and she's a big fan of John's and she'd like to meet John. Do you think that'd be possible? And our colleague said, sure, and gave her my cell number and said, have your mother text her contact information to Mark. Well, who was Mom?
Nancy Pelosi.
Oh, my goodness.
So we go in and we get time with Nancy Pelosi. Now, we're kind of in a bad way in this country. We're so angry. And we disagree with people. We vilify them. And we lose the humanity of our elected officials. And I don't care where you stand on the political spectrum. We forget that they're people. So, Nancy Pelosi, among other things, she's an 80-year-old Italian grandmother. And we go to see her, and she takes out pictures of her and President Bush, George H.W. Bush, and socks she gave him, and she's hugging John. This is warm and wonderful. We're taking photographs, and everybody's happy. But you see, we get this opportunity, right? So then it's, but Ms. Pelosi, we do need to speak to you, because we have to talk about repealing Section 14C of the Fair Labor Standard Act of 1938 that allows employers to pay people with a disability as little as 25 cents an hour.
Oh my. In
1938, that might have been acceptable, but it's not acceptable in 2022 or whatever year it was that we met with her. So those are the opportunities we have to give a voice and speak up, and that matters a lot.
Wow, absolutely. I've got a question, actually. Y'all probably don't know this, but here, let me switch the camera real quick. So Debbie is my mom, and Heather is my sister. So I get to work with my family, too. And I know that working with family is both a joy, but also we can have disagreements sometimes. So how do y'all handle when you have a disagreement on something?
Well, we'll put this in some context. Okay. We recently were at a dinner where they were giving us an award for being a family business. And people were all talking about how warm and wonderful it is having a family business. Yeah. Well, come on now. My middle son worked with us for a while, and that wasn't going to last. If he kept working with us, you were going to find us both in a pool of blood on the floor. And my wife, John's mom, works with us, and she's both our best employee and the employee I'd most like to slaughter. I love her dearly, and there are times like we'll be driving home and talking, right? And she'll just look at me and say, "Can we please leave it in the office?" So there are wonderful things about working with family, and there are challenges.
Well, what do you try to keep in mind that helps you resolve those challenges in your mind? What's a couple things you try to keep firmly planted in your mind?
A couple things. One is always keep your eye on the prize. Always keep your eye on what matters, and don't get sucked into petty things. Don't get sucked into who's right, who's wrong. We've learned about communication. We've learned about different ways we can communicate. And I've also learned that, if I strangle someone in the family, I don't want to spend time in jail.
That's a good thing to remember.
Well, I think that's very, very important to keep your mind mission focused. And if your mission is on making socks, the question is, how does this way of thinking best serve making socks and spreading, happiness? I mean, how does this mindset, how does this difference or debate or disagreement, how does it serve that? And often, let's just take families. If the family mission is cohesiveness and supporting each other, you often can't do that arguing over something to the nth degree. You have to learn how to let some things go.
Well, before we mentioned that our mission is spread in happiness, right? And we know we got these five pillars that really support what we do. If you're focused on that, if you have something you believe in that's larger than ourselves and it's outside of ourselves, I think it makes everything else easier, and it wipes away a lot of the pettiness. So, I'll take an example. My wife, who we've been married 41 years, so I know she's always right. but, if you stop and there's something happening, and it's not, well, this is what I say or this is what you say, it's let's just stop. What's the best way we're going to spread happiness? How is this going to best fulfill our commitment to make things personal? And that makes it easier because now it's not personal anymore.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. That is so fantastic. I wish more people remember that.
You can get caught up in all sorts of petty stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't like this person. Oh, they looked at me funny. I don't care. Here's the thing in our place. So, you've heard the line, the customer is always right. Well, that's nonsense. Customer can be dead wrong. But we're not in the business of being right. We're in the business of making people happy. So if we deal with the customer, we take that approach. It alters everything. So we don't have problems. And it's easier for our colleagues. You're not having disagreements because this is what we're focused on. We're not trying to win an argument.
Wonderful. We often teach people in the art lab, you often have to choose between one of two things, being right or honoring the relationship. And it's always better to honor the relationship. And that's the case in business and in families. First, honor the relationship.
Well, I've had this conversation with, do you want to be right or do you want to make things right?
That's a great way to put it.
Question. Like
that. You know, if we're focused on being right, if we're focused on, oh, I know this, well, then we're shutting ourselves off from achieving, you know, from having that curiosity, from learning, from achieving what we can.
And I think that has really supported what you guys are doing in helping make an example to other people. In that folks historically in business think that people have to look this way, talk this way, think this way, act this way, and they have to be willing to realize that that's not accurate, that's not right, that's just not the case and has never been the case. Our thinking was imprisoned in a box of our own making. I want to ask you, John, what's it like being sock buddies with a former leader of the free world, George Bush?
What was that like? Did you like being sock buddies with the president?
I do.
Yeah. You want to talk about some of that? How'd that make you feel?
It makes me feel great. I feel inspired. Of him and me.
It's a good story. I mean, we saw that the former president liked to wear crazy socks, and you said we should send him some socks.
I did.
Because you say that a lot, don't you?
Dang.
So we sent him a box of socks, and his office called and asked for some more. And then he sent John socks.
Uh-huh.
And then he started tweeting out pictures of him wearing John's socks. And there's a connection here. It was President Bush who signed the Americans with Disabilities Act.
Oh.
And that changed the world for millions of people, including John, right? That made so much possible. So the president was really engaged and loved the fact that John had this business. And there were some very personal moments. When Mrs. Bush passed away, when Barbara Bush passed away, his office called and said the president and the family want to wear socks to honor her commitment to literacy.
Oh.
So we overnighted some book-themed socks. The day of her funeral, he didn't talk to the press. The only communication he had was to tweet out a picture of those socks. Because by that point, the former president, he was quite infirm. And he wasn't meeting with the press. He was communicating to the world through his socks. And I remember we were, the day of that funeral was a Saturday, and we were down in Charleston, West Virginia. We were speaking at a Down syndrome conference, and we didn't know that was going to happen. And when we heard, you know, as the kids say, the phone was blowing up. I mean, how incredible that, you know, the former president, at a time of great grief, reached out to my son, and you were there for him. I mean, how great was that?
That is amazing. That is amazing. And I want to point out to the listeners for today's episode that if it were not for John having his thinking outside of a limited mindset, and if it were not for his dad joining him in that exceptional mindset, look at all the opportunities that would have been wasted. And there's someone listening today that has such great potential, but you are limiting yourself by staying in that box of limited mindset. Get out of the box. Look at what these guys have done. Mm-hmm. Their getting out of the box has allowed them to fill that box with not just a whole bunch of socks, over 4,000 different iterations of socks, but has allowed them to fill that box of hope for thousands, if not millions, of others. So get your thinking outside the box. Get outside of that limited mindset, and you'll see inspiration where you can make a difference in your own section of the universe. I have a personal question. John, you said the president sent you some socks. What is your favorite pair of socks that the president sent you? Do you recall?
He sent those USO socks.
He sent me a USO socks. And also, my favorite part, that is he wrote me back a wonderful womanly letter from him. It makes me feel so great, feel good. And I feel I inspire him. And it's incredible.
That's amazing.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. You know, you talk about mindset, and it seems so simple. We're the ones that hold ourselves back,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. True.
And sometimes it's so obvious. I'll give you an example. And it's January of 2017. We're just getting started. We are finding out firsthand people don't buy much in January because they spent all their money at Christmas. And that's when we discovered that people wear crazy socks to celebrate World Down Syndrome Day. What's World Down Syndrome Day?
It's March 21st. That day is a World Down Syndrome Day.
Because you get Down Syndrome by having three 21st chromosomes. So, you know, you would have thought we knew that ahead of time, but we didn't. So now we're out looking for a Down Syndrome themed sock. And nobody made one. We couldn't find one. And what do you say?
I want to create one. I want to make one.
Right, John? That wasn't a problem for John. Then we'll just go make one. And so John designed the world's first Down Syndrome awareness sock. And we called up the National Down Syndrome Society and said, we're going to make this sock, and we're going to give you money from every pair we sell. And they said, who are you? But now we do a lot of work with them, and you know, here's when you put things out there, you never know the connections you're going to make.
Mm-hmm.
That's very true. You have to just find meaning in doing something, and direct all your heart and all your effort at it, and you never know what you might accomplish. A question about the president's socks. What would you think might be his favorite pair of socks that you guys sent him?
Well, we know he loved those book socks. Mm-hmm. And in fact, we turned those into a fundraiser. So we still sell them. And they raise money for the Barbara Bush Family Literacy Foundation.
Wow. Oh, that's awesome.
But we've had other presidents, George W. Bush, President Clinton, President Biden, Prime Minister Trudeau.
Kevin James.
Mm-hmm. Who else? John Stamos.
Stamos.
He's a friend of yours, right? Eva Longoria.
Yeah, and
Noel Biden. Oh, right. There is a rumor that Bob Dylan was wearing our socks when he picked up his Nobel Prize. Now, we started that rumor, but he hasn't denied it.
That's great. That's great. Guys, it is such a pleasure having you on the show today. I know that you have a busy schedule. We have one more thing to go, and I know we're springing it on you, but I know that you'll come up with a great crazy socks response to this. And I would normally just do this at random, but I have curated a special kind of psychology type question for you guys related to socks, and I'm going to pull it out from the deep dark recesses of the therapy couch here and just read it to you, see what you come up with. Considering what we're going through in the world today with Russia and Ukraine, what pair of socks, if you could create a pair of socks that you think might be life-changing for Vladimir Putin, what kind of socks does Vladimir Putin need in today's world?
Maybe he could use the taco socks. Just something to remind him about other folks, that we have more in common than we do that separates us. The actual design would not work for him. We made socks for every member of Congress. We called them Unity Socks, and they have American flags on them. And we went to Washington to deliver them. We got a Republican and a Democratic congressman to help us introduce them. To just say, guys, we can talk to each other. We have far more in common than we do that separates us. And let's find that common ground and build on that before we focus on what separates us. So I bring something lighthearted for him, right? Maybe, I know socks you wear that makes you laugh, the poop emoji socks.
I love both of those. I think taco socks, I think those sound great. That would really fit the order, because I think we can all be reminded that we have so much more in common than we have that are different. And I appreciate you guys being here. I appreciate the work that you do. Guys, hop on there and grab some of John's crazy socks. Spread the happiness, spread the joy, spread the good news. Spread how each of us is important in our own little sphere of life, and we can make a big difference by just being everything we are in that small sphere. Thank you guys for being here. Thank you, T-Ballers, for joining, and we will catch you next time. Have a great season. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Welcome to On the Couch and Off Our Rocker with Dr. Ima Freudknot, where we review our special guest's Therapy Bites Art Lab episode, Psycho Malarkey Scale Assessment Results. That's PMS for short.
Mark X on John Cronin's PMS performance places them in the 99th percentile on the PMS's SLIMS, Socolata Maxima Scale. This indicates a sensationally high degree of foot-friendly ingenuity in Mark X and John Cronin's cortical crevices, and a terrifying tendency toward toe-tickling tomfoolery. Overall, Mark X and John Cronin's PMS psychosillimetric assessment results present a picture of a pair of inspirational individuals serendipitously, senselessly sock-obsessed and seriously susceptible to a success-oriented series of sock-inspired shenanigans, but who tame these torrential, frolicsome footwear predilections by spontaneous sock-spreading. This pair of sockful souls likely have a preponderating prognosis of sockadosis in the foreseeable future, until the foot-focused features of their psyches have been psychomologically analyzed and exercised. It is my considered conclusion that Mark X and John Cronin be prescribed no less than 12 milligrams QD of Socamol, SR, and another 22 milligrams Tozeril, TR, PRN, to suppress any subliminal slack-sock-stretching cognitions. Dr. Ima Freudknot, Chief Shrinkstigator, Therapy Bites Art Lab.
Grab some of this episode's guest merchandise, specially designed to help keep this episode's message top of mind in your life. Don't forget friends and family members who could use an Art Lab mental boost too. Just go to therapybites.myshopify.com.
Hey, T-Ballers, thanks so much for being with us today. If we brought value to your day, show us some love by leaving your positive feedback and inviting some friends to listen in and join the T-Ball team. Next time on Therapy Bites Art Lab.
Welcome, T-Ballers. Now's a great time to smash that subscribe button. Also, catch up on our cool, crunchy, bi-weekly Couch Crumbs newsletter. Visit the T-Ball team page using the link I'll drop in the show notes. Hey, T-Ballers, get those ear canals ready because our guest today is bringing some audio electricity to recharge your life. Are you running low on battery power? Have you lost those charging cables in your life? Has the Energizer Bunny up and left the building of your brain? Well, we're streaming Art Lab's own human battery charger, Dr. Denise Moore-Revel, onto the Therapy Bites podcast to share her life electrifying secrets of supercharging your life on an episode we call Supercharged Living, Psychology of Personal Power.
Beware, there'll be challenging thinking ahead, T-Ballers.
But it just might change your life by charging up your mind.
Government legal gobbledygook. Therapy Bites is not intended as a diagnostic or as an alternative to professional clinical treatment. Resources and advice are for information and entertainment purposes only. Brought to you by... Someone saying things you don't like? Tape that nagging loudmouth shut. Government-approved speech tape. Gas tape. Now available at your local hardware store. Therapy Bites Art Lab is not an approved, endorsed, authorized, butt-kissing affiliate of the United States Special Offense Assessment Police. SOAP for short. Warning. Consumption of Therapy Bites Art Lab content by Kool-Aid drinking, stinking, thinking, social media, pseudo-psychological pushing, wacky woke, anti-free speech, mumbo-jumbo advocates may cause spontaneous internal skull combustion, stomach discomfort, and or laxative effects. Allergy warning. Therapy Bites is manufactured in a facility that challenges nutty distortions, processes nuggets of accurate, realistic thinking, and life-affirming beliefs. This is the audio version of the legal fine print. Why are you still listening to this when you can catch the next great episode of Therapy Bites Art Lab with a good friend or family member? Really? Are you still there? This is getting silly. Move on to the next psychologically thrilling episode of the best advice on the net. No copay required.
Me eat copay.
Yeah, with Dr. Heath and the T-Ball team. Go ahead, don't be podgoraphobic. Scoot, scoot, scoot. On to the next episode.